When God saves us, He automatically and immediately places us inside a group of believers called the body of Jesus Christ. This is a fact. We are a community. And we must flesh out exactly what that looks like in our daily lives. And so, in addition to the fleshing of it out, we are to be sharing. We're to be sharing spiritual truths with one another. I'm trying to sum up what we've gone over in this quarter so far. We share spiritual truths with one another. We also share material possessions and share prayers in partnership. We also share our spiritual gifts with one another. And there is no one that is more important than another. The great William Carey, who was the father of modern missions, going to India. Not very many people know about his sister, who was practically a bedridden invalid, who prayed for hours and hours for her brother. Who was more important? William Carey, who actually went to India, or his sister, who laid on her back for hours praying for the work? They both were incredibly and indelibly important for the work that God wanted to accomplish there. And today we are looking at the fellowship of spiritual gifts. This is the longest chapter in this book that we're looking at by Jerry Bridges, and so we'll try to accomplish a lot. In the study and discussion time, we didn't have time for five questions, which has been typical. After the, it is kind of included a little bit perhaps in the first, in looking at the Romans 12, in discussing what you really believe are, what those gifts are, what they mean, how they apply in the local church and the working out. But really, we chose to really emphasize the glue that holds all of those gifts together, the ligaments that holds all the body parts together, as you'll see in questions 2 and 3. So, first, the function of spiritual gifts. A spiritual gift is an ability given by God and empowered by the Holy Spirit to perform the specific functions within the body of Christ that God has assigned to each of us. And I would say to us that that functioning in the body of a spiritual gift shows up the majority of the time within the local church. There is much emphasis, and there should be, because it is a biblical concept as well, of the universal church, the church in Elko, all Christian people working together. That is a biblical concept, but the overwhelming emphasis of the New Testament is placed upon the local church. Where should our gifts be exercised most and be most noticed? Inside the local assembly of the body of believers that's there. And by the way, I want to make sure that we address that spiritual gifts are distinct from natural abilities, although God can use some natural abilities in combination and temperament with spiritual gifts. And in Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8, which hopefully you'll look at in your study and discussion groups, it emphasizes finding your actual function more than it emphasizes finding out what your gift is. Finding out what you are to be practically doing, and we're going to discuss that at the end. How do I know what I'm supposed to be practically doing? Finding your function helps you find your gift. And so the emphasis upon the Bible is not so much on finding the gift as it is finding your function, and then you'll find your gift. Okay, and also we want to emphasize that fellowship is not just a social privilege to enjoy. We've tried to emphasize this throughout this quarter. It is a responsibility to assume in which I share my gift. There are many who like to enjoy the social aspects of fellowship. That's really good. That's nice. In which I can sit back and relax and have other people kind of laugh with me, laugh at my jokes and entertain me, and I soak it all up. Spiritual fellowship, according to the New Testament, is not so much a social privilege to enjoy as much as it is a spiritual responsibility to assume in giving to others. Secondly, we're looking at sharing our spiritual gifts. We're to share spiritual truths, material possessions, and the benefits of our spiritual gifts. And fellowship is not merely a social activity that we passively enjoy. Thirdly, let's look at some principles in the Bible that actually discuss the spiritual gifts. First, spiritual gifts are sovereignly bestowed by God himself. Let's see that in just a couple of verses in our limited time this morning. 1 Corinthians 12, 11 and 18. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one. God's Spirit distributes to each one individually, just as he wills. But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as he desired. So it's God who assigns the gifts that are out there. And number two, or letter B, I should say, every gift is given by God's grace. Little interesting Greek word here. The Greek word translated spiritual gift is the Greek word charisma, from which we get the English word charismatic. The Greek word charis means grace or grace gift, and so the root of so-called charismatic gifts or charisma is literally, it's a grace gift. It's completely undeserved. None of us deserves these gifts that are there. As a matter of fact, let's look up this, Romans 12, 6. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each one of us is to exercise them accordingly. Notice in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, as each one has received a special gift, use it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. What's he saying there? I've given to the church this manifold grace of gifts. Now you as an individual, use your particular gift in a special way. And by the way, I want to mention very specifically here, when we talk about spiritual gifts, there is some disagreement that's out there. Does a person only have one gift, or do they have many gifts? I'm just going to give my personal opinion here. I believe that a person has one gift, but it is like a painter's palette. When a painter goes to paint a particular painting, he knows what is going to be needed in this particular painting. And he knows what colors from the tubes to put on there. Now, if he's painting a totally different painting, he's going to put different colors on there and in different amounts. In other words, I guess I could say that each person can have manifestations of various aspects. They can be gifted in different ways. But it's one single gift called you that God has given you. And the measure in which you are able to use those gifts or employ them is different from every individual. We'll see that in just a little bit in Matthew chapter 25 as well. So 1 Peter 4:10, a person may say, I'm just getting used to spiritual gifts and really enjoying fellowship and exercising spiritual gifts. I feel like much of my life is already wasted. That's okay. None of us deserve these gifts, and all of us can use them right now. Point C underneath the principles. The purpose of all spiritual gifts is to glorify God and to serve others as God's steward. Notice these verses here, 1 Corinthians 12:7 again. To each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Also in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 and 11, each one has received a special gift. Employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Just a pause here before we read verse 11. We don't want to be getting into the thought, I want to find my gift. And then once I found it, oh yes, now I know what I am. I'd like to know what you are. I'd like to know what everyone else is. And there is a fascination there seems to be in many Christians in wanting to know their gift when God places the emphasis not so much upon finding it as in doing what? Actually using it in our function. Look at verse 11 there, three lines down. Whoever speaks, he's to do it as one speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do it as one who's serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And Brother Jeremy gave excellent message on this passage and really unpacked those verses for us, and I would recommend that to you. So, what is the application? These gifts are not for us to be used just any old way that we please. We are stewards, and a steward is someone who does the bidding of someone else. He manages someone else's property. It's not mine. Now, I want to remind us that some gifts are more public than others, and we're not to be proud. I want to be more recognized. There is teaching gifts. Some teaching gifts, whether good or bad or indifferent, well, no matter what the opinion, my gift happens to be, by the employment of you all, more front and center than some teaching gifts who have Bible studies in your home or who do one-on-one Bible studies. Does that mean one is more important than the other? No. No, not at all. Sometimes teaching gifts are played up more than serving gifts. Serving gifts so that things actually function well. There are lots of people who serve. I'm looking at one right now back in the back of the room with Kurt Chris, who makes sure that the sound system is up and functioning well. Sometimes it's taken for granted. Aren't you glad that you can hear? Folks that are listening by way of live streaming out there or who ever listened to the audio, aren't you glad to receive that? It's because of people who help organize that, like Brother Kurt and Anton Mayer and a number of others who work back there. We'd love to get more of you involved with that. There are folks who clean. There are folks who come in and do various things like folding the bulletins early on Sunday morning. There are folks who come in and pray. And some of those things are looked down on because they're not as showy. But we shouldn't be thinking that way, nor taking things for granted. Point D, letter D. Every Christian has a spiritual gift. That's already been emphasized in 1 Corinthians 12:7. We've made reference to Matthew 25. God gives an illustration, a parable, in which he gives to three people talents. Now, let me explain what a talent is. When the word talent is used in the Bible, it's a monetary unit. Yes, God also does give everyone talents and abilities, but in that parable of the talents, he's not talking about abilities. He's talking about a monetary unit of over $1,000. And he says to one, he gave a number of talents, to another one, a middle set of talents, monetary unit. And to one person, he gave just barely $1,000. And remember, God expected all three of them to use and to function what measure they were given. All of us may be able to speak. All of us may be able to teach, maybe. Some are given more in that particular area, and to whom much is given, much is required, than what others are. Therefore, we are all going to be judged based on not what others do with theirs. We are going to be judged on, according to that passage, what we do with what God has given specifically to us. And also, let point E, every spiritual gift is important. We're kind of re-emphasizing something that we've hit on already. But every spiritual gift is important. None are unimportant. Mercy is important. Having compassion on the miseries of the needy, the suffering, and the unlovely. Hospitality is important in meeting the temporal needs of the body. That is important. All of them are important. As a matter of fact, let's read there in 1 Corinthians 12, 15, and 16. If the foot says, because I'm not the hand, I'm not part of the body, is it not for this reason any the less part of the body? And if the ear says, because I'm not an eye and I'm not part of the body, it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. So friends, we must be careful that we recognize the contribution of all of those in the congregation. Little Roman numeral 2 there. We must not disregard the contribution to the body of those who have less noticeable gifts at all. 1 Corinthians 12:21, and the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. And then third Roman numeral point at the bottom, don't look down, dear friends, on your gift. Can I say this? Do not look down on anyone else's gift either. What are we doing when we disregard our giftedness or the giftedness of others? It is complaining to God and disparaging his plan. Letter F. The effective use of every gift relies upon our dependence on Jesus. I want to say that again. It's kind of wordy. In other words, the only way we can really use our gift is if we're depending on Jesus. It's not, he's given this gift to me and good, okay, see, it wouldn't want to be, I don't need you anymore. I am empowered to use my gift. No, it is completely opposite of that. I have to be, if I could put it this way, plugged in to him constantly. I am not going to be able to serve well without being plugged into him. And I have to be conscious of relying on his enabling power. Jesus said in John 15:5, without me, you can do absolutely nothing. Now, this requires vigilance on two different paths. And we've kind of mentioned this in a different way in talking about God's responsibilities and my responsibilities. But we're going to change it. I have to be depending on Jesus here in the midst of this. It requires vigilance on two fronts. I cannot be guilty of slothfulness under the pretext, well, I'm just trusting the Lord. Therefore, I don't have to be diligent, and I'm just waiting for God to move me to do something. No, God has already told you to move and do something. Don't be lazy. God has gifted and enabled. Don't be lazy under the pretext of trusting the Lord. Am I making sense there? And then there is vigilance on another aspect. Don't be guilty of presuming on God's blessing as we use our gifts in our own strength. Since, well, I've done this a lot of times before, I can just get up and do it again. No. And that is something that I have got to be reminded of constantly. I cannot be lazy under the pretext of trusting God, nor can I just be getting up and doing it again when secretly I'm just relying on my own abilities instead of really depending on God deep down, consciously, on the inside. Letter G, all of our gifts, all of them must be developed and all of them must be exercised. Just because I have a gift and you have a gift doesn't mean that, oh, I am God's gift in every way in this area to the church. Now, you are God's gift, but they are to be developed and exercised. And the proof for this is found in 1 Timothy 4:14-15. Do not neglect the spiritual gift within you, which was bestowed on you through the prophetic utterance with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. What's Paul saying to Timothy? You have a giftedness, and it was confirmed when you were ordained into the ministry. Don't neglect that. If anything, verse 15, take pains with those gifts that God has given to you. Be absorbed in them so that your progress will be evident to all. And Paul says another thing to Timothy in the last letter that he wrote to him, 2 Timothy 1:6, for this reason I remind you, kindle afresh, stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands. God requires diligent effort on our part. The service here, people who do all kinds of things behind the scenes. I mentioned the sound booth. I'm just going to mention that again. Working back in the sound booth requires a little bit of competence and learning in order to be proficient in that particular area. Now, I'm not saying that there's a spiritual gift of the song booth, a sound booth. I'm not trying to say there's a spiritual gift of sound booth. I am trying to say there is a gift of service, and it can manifest itself in ministering in the sound booth. Am I making sense? Okay, hopefully so. And then our last point here, letter H. Only love will give true value to our gifts. The love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, is set right in the middle of the longest passage in the entire Bible discussing spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, and the love chapter is right in the middle, speaking that it is the glue that holds everything together. Question. If you were to get an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper lined like school paper and have 0 plus 0 plus 0, and you write that out on every line, and then once you get down at the bottom, put an equals, what are you going to have? Yeah, you're going to have 0. God says to us in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 3, that love is what gives the gifts their worth. I can have all kinds of great giftedness in speaking and in serving and special, fantastic gifts, it says in 1 Corinthians 1, 13, 1 through 3. But if there is no love, it has no value. But let's go back to the paper with all the zeros. Put a 1 right up at the very top left-hand corner. And instantly that entire paper has what now? Yeah, it has value. Just with a 1 up there. Put a 2 up there at the front. Oh, you've got even more value. God emphasizes to us, it is not just the use of the gifts, but there has got to be the manifestation of love that holds everything together in the midst of it all. I'm reminded of a story in which someone told me about someone in college that, man, he's a great soul winner and leads people to Jesus, but no one wants to room with him. He is completely obnoxious. He can win people to Jesus and be effective minister for Jesus, but he's very obnoxious and no one wants to room with him. Do you see that there's a problem there? There's an incredible problem there. And the problem is solved with love. It reminds me of the evangelist who told me one time, "You give me 15 minutes alone with a man, I'll get you a decision for Jesus." And I believed him too. You spend 15 minutes alone with that man, you'd do anything to get rid of him. You would. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 7, it says that love must permeate and govern every aspect of our life and times. And there's a question that I have for us. You would think, since 1 Corinthians 13 shows up right in the middle of all of these spiritual gifts, and then he says, love is necessary, you would think that he would start talking about how you can prophesy and speak in love, and how you can serve in love, and how you can administrate in love, wouldn't you? I mean, that would be my thinking. You need to do this all with love. Okay, so how do I speak in love, and how do I administrate in love, and how do I serve in love? But he doesn't do that. He starts talking about how love should be influencing every interpersonal relationship on a very personal level. Why? Why doesn't he talk about how we ought to be serving and administrating and speaking in love, but instead he just jumps immediately to interpersonal relationships and all those characteristics of how love ought to be interacting with us? I believe he's trying to tell us something. I'd love for you to discuss it in your groups that are there. Love is the cement that binds the living stones together. It's the ligaments that hold and the muscle tissue that hold all of the joints together. And can I encourage this? We here don't want to just place people in positions just because they have a talent, it seems, to do something. We want to make sure that as they use it, that they have what about them? What's this point that we're talking about? We're not just talking about people, well, can they do that? We're talking about people who, yes, can do it, but they also manifest what? That they manifest love. And there are two basic things about love. If you don't get anything else about love in reading 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, get these two basic things. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is patient. Love is kind. So how do we recognize our spiritual gifts? Very quickly, and you can discuss these. They are basically found up there. I would say four main things, and we're only giving highlights here. First, before you ever can discover it, you have to ask yourself, am I really willing and committed to doing God's will that he has for me in the body? If you are not ready, and you're not willing, and you're not committed to doing whatever he says to you, you're not going to find it, dear friends, because you're not in tune with the Lord. B, ask yourself, how has God providentially led my life? What positions has he put me in? What has he given me to do? And also, what has he given me not to do? What service in the body have I done in which I've experienced his blessing on my efforts? What things have I done in the body in which there hasn't been blessing on my efforts? What opportunities to serve has been open to me? What opportunities have not been open to me? What aspects of my ministry have I sensed inside of myself God's enablement for me to actually do? C, what are my natural abilities, temperament, and great desires? Now, caution, not all natural abilities, temperament, and desires are necessarily sure indicators of gifts. It is an influential factor, not the major factor. And D, have other Christians confirmed your thoughts? Other Christians blessed by you will let you know, either by words of appreciation and encouragement or by requests of you to minister to them again. Are you experiencing that? And how about going to some mature Christians who can tell you? Our spiritual gifts, dear friends, are not so much discovered by ourselves as what they are in their what? We're not found out as much as what they are emphasized to be what? Actually used, actually done. That means other people are going to recognize them many times even better than whom? Yeah, than what we ourselves recognize them. So, let's split up and we'll have our discussion time. And the discussion groups are found right there on the screen.